Always at the end of the gospel, I say the gospel of our Lord. And sometimes I wonder if it really is gospel, if it's good news. Because this text, it kind of hits close to home. It seems like last week or two, I've been in several conversations about retirement and kind of looking over our retirement plans and stuff, and even went to a presentation and they said, you know, do you know what your retirement number is so that you can have all the money you need in order to do the things you want to do and to travel and all that kind of stuff? It sure sounds like storing up treasures here on earth, doesn't it? Planning ahead. Yikes. And I do have an older brother too. And if I were to find out that all of my dad's and parents' inheritance was going to go to him, I'm not sure I'd be so thrilled about that. It just doesn't seem quite fair. And yet, in all of this, Jesus says, "You fool. You fool." And he tells this story about someone who had lots of land. It produced abundantly, and so why not store up what you have in order to prepare for the years ahead? The context for all of this, of course, is a conversation about greed. Conversation about greed. He says, take care. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. And I think there are all kinds of greed. Whenever I see someone that has a better house than mine, part of me goes, you know, I deserve a house like that. Whenever I hear that other pastors are making a lot more than I am, part of me goes, that doesn't seem quite fair. And I think we live in a culture that actually encourages us to be focused on how much we make, how much other people make, all the things that you deserve, all the things that you should have, all the things that will make your life comfortable, all the things that will make your life rich and bountiful, make you pleasing in the sight of others. It encourages us to think that way. There are really lots and lots of types of greed. And the word for greed can actually be translated do not covet, or greed as covetousness. So then it takes us right back to the ninth commandment, ninth and tenth commandment. You shall not covet your neighbor's house or your neighbor's goods or your neighbor's wife. Like, you shall not be greedy for. You should not be greedy for those things that others have. So how are we possibly supposed to live this? And is it really about any plans of taking our money or storing ourselves or acquiring anything of value? Is Jesus calling us a fool? And I think the key in this whole conversation has to do with what the rich man thought and said to himself. Clearly, the land's produced a lot. You might say he was blessed by their crop. And his mind, his thoughts, his actions, his focus were all about himself. All about himself. There's nothing in the telling of this parable that shows that he had any consideration for anybody else, not even his family, much less the folks around who may not have had much land or who may not have had any kind of abundant harvest, his neighbors, so to speak. In this parable, it is clear that he is focusing on himself. And you can tell by that that the goal of his life, what he thinks real life is about being able to relax and eat as much as you want and drink whatever you want and just party and be merry all the time. There's a word that we use for this. It's called selfishness. Martin Luther used some Latin words to describe it. He called it incurvatur in se. curved in on yourself. When I think of curved in on yourself, I think of Ebenezer Scrooge, you know, kind of, or who's that guy on the, oh gosh, this is what happens when I come up with ideas in the middle of a sermon. Homer Simpson, what, the Simpsons. Who's the boss in that? Mr. what? Mr. Burns. Yeah, I mean, he's kind of hunched over. He's like this. It's like, it's mine. It's mine. All mine. I'm going to get more, you know. And when we think of greed, we think of over-the-top greediness like that. And in its extreme form, that's what it is. People that are so obsessed with getting money and gold and treasures and just being able to sit there and swim in them and delight in them. But we all have that impulse. We all have that impulse to look out for ourselves first. I think this is where God is calling us a fool. God is calling us a fool when we allow that to take over. Because all through Scripture, Jesus says, you know, he talks about money more than anything. You can't serve two masters. You can either serve mammon or you can serve God. Store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, not on earth. Render unto Caesar what is Caesar's, render unto God what is God's. Over and over, he's talking about money and where you put your focus. And if your focus is on accumulating wealth, if you think that's what life is about, then Jesus is saying you're a fool. So what does it mean to build up riches in heaven? Well, it means all those other things that have the word love in them. Love for God, love for neighbor, serving others. Instead of focusing on maintaining and making sure one's own life is as comfortable as possible, it's caring about other people's lives so that other lives may be abundant also. All through Scripture, the Old Testament talks about the people of Israel, how they are God's chosen people. One of the recurring themes is that I will bless you so that you may be a blessing to others. When we stand before God and we have to give an accounting of our life, I think the question will be, did you give your life away? With the blessings that I gave you, how did you bless others? These are the treasures that we store up in heaven that don't depend upon how much money's in our bank account when we die, or how many, what's that t-shirt? The one who has the most toys when they die wins. That's the extreme of that. It doesn't matter about that. The question is, what did you do with your money that God blessed you with? Did you use it to have abundant life for others, to have other people's lives turn out? What did you do with the time that God blessed you with? Did you use it just on yourself, or did you use it in service of others? What did you do with the gospel and the relationship with God that Jesus granted us? Did you pass that on to others? What did you do with the skills that God blessed you with? Did you just use them for yourself, or did you use them in service of others? Over and over, Jesus invites us to a life that is life indeed. It begins with love, talks about service, it talks about discipline, talks about giving away, inviting others. It's life that says, life is more than my own life. I've been blessed, so I'm going to do what I can to bless others. Okay, so Pastor, so what does this mean? Does this mean if I have more than $10,000 saved up for my retirement, I should give it away? Or $50,000? Or if I have more than $100,000? Or more than a quarter of a million? Or more than $1 million? What are you telling me to do? I'm not going to tell you to do anything. When the guy asked Jesus, okay, you know, tell my brother to divide the inheritance. He goes, who set me to be your judge and arbitrator? This is a conversation for you to have, using the words of this story, with your soul. What does it look like to have the blessings in your life be shared with others? What does it look like for you to be on guard against those types of greed that you are susceptible to? That's the question. Are you slipping into that the trap of making your money, your resources, your retirement account, your assets, all of that stuff? Are you slipping into that being your idol? And hence, is it trapping you and possessing you and not allowing you to be free and to be part of God's mission for the world, which is to bring life for everyone? You have been blessed. We have all been blessed. The inquiry, the question, the challenge, the opportunity is to be a blessing for others. Be a blessing for others with our time, with our money, with our skills, with our passions, with our love, so that life may abound. So that when we show up and meet God face to face, God says, "Well done, good and faithful servant. I see the blessings that you passed on." Amen.